Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Tes Zayin. We left off on the top of Tes Zayin Amar Aleph at the two dots, four lines into the page on Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. It is also sponsored by Ellen and Rabbi Michael Wexelbaum, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Wexelbaum's mother, Mrs. Ruth Wexelbaum, Rivka Bas Akiva, for her yard site, which is today, the Neshama Shavan Aliyah. It is also sponsored by the McGilner family for the Zechus Refuah Shalema, for Atinok Ben Margalit Nechama, he should have Refuah Shalema, B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael, and is also sponsored for Refuah Shalema and a bracha for a successful surgery for Yonatan Meir Ben Leah Aviva, who's having very serious surgery today, and he should have Refuah Shalema, B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today, first thing we're going to discuss is how we know that an Eved Ivri is Niknes Bishtar, meaning the Mishnah went through the different Kinyane Ha'avadim, so we're going to go through the sources of how we know that they're true, that an Eved Ivri is Niknes Bishtar. That's going to lead us into a discussion about an Ama Ivriya being Niknes Bishtar, and what each opinion is going to do with the other one's Psukim, as we would normally, as the Gemara typically does. Then the Gemara is going to have a Chiddush of Reish Lakish, where Reish Lakish is going to suggest that an Ama Ivriya goes free with Misas Ha'av, meaning if her father dies, so then while she's an Amma Ivriya for somebody else, when her own father dies, she goes free from being an Amma Ivriya. And the Gemara is going to have three challenges to Reish Lakish, and then it's going to have one Raya to Reish Lakish, so that's going to take up the bulk of the daf, is going to be that Shita of Reish Lakish, the challenges to him, and the Raya for him. Then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about the idea of Ha'anaka. So we're going to talk about two opinions of what the Chiddush is when we say that an Eved Ivri gets his own Ha'anaka, that his Ha'anaka is Shalo, that it goes to him. So two opinions, whether there's a Chiddush actually, and then the Gemara is going to say that all agree that a Boreach, someone who runs away, does not get Ha'anaka, because the Gemara will discuss why it is that he doesn't get Ha'anaka if a person is Boreach, if a person runs away. So let's begin with the two dots on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah had said Ubishtar, that an Eved Ivri is Nikna with Kesef, and he's also Nikna with a Shtar. So Minala, and how do I know that an Eved Ivri is Nikna Bishtar? Two opinions. Number one, Amr Ula Amr Kra, because the Pasuk says not by an Eved Ivri, but by an Amma Ha Ivriya. It says Imacheres Yikachlo, that if the Adon marries a woman besides for the Yiud that he has with this Amma, So he cannot diminish any of his chiyuvim that he has toward this amma. But he kisha kasav la'acheres. Whoa! What do we see? That the pasuk links his obligations toward his amma ivriya with his obligations toward his wife, toward acheres, toward taking a wife. So ma acheres mekanya b'shtar, just like anisha's miskadeshes and his nickname to her husband with a shtar, and that we already know because we were makish havayiliyitzia. That when it comes to a get, it's clear pasuk in the Torah that the get is done with the shtar. Some of the Hekesh HaVayilitziya tells us that there's such a thing called Kiddushe Shtar. So just like there's Kiddushe Shtar with Anisha, Af Amah Ivriya Mekanya Bishtar, so too an Amah Ivriya is Niknes to her Adon with a shtar. And we learn Eved Ivri from Amah Ivriya because we have another Hekesh, right? The Pasuk says Ha Ivri O Ha Ivriya, and therefore we darshan that whatever is true of an Amah Ivriya is also true of an Eved Ivri. So says the Gemara, okay, Hani Chol Mandi Av Shtar Amah Ivriya Adon Koslo, to say that we're going to derive the din of Kinyan Shtar of Nama Ivriya from the Hekish to Kiddushe Isha, that makes sense if you assume that the Shtar is written by the Adon, meaning the one who's doing the Kinyan writes a Shtar, because then it parallels to being Mekadesh and Isha, that the Baal is Kosev a Shtar, and that's how he's Mekadesh the Isha with the Shtar that he writes. So you can parallel that over to someone who's acquiring an Nama Ivriya, that the Adon writes it. But according to the opinion, which we have not yet seen, but we'll soon see, that Av Kosvo, that the father of the Amma Ivriya, who's the seller, so to speak, he's the Makne, he's not the Kona, that he's the one that writes the Shtar, Meikel Meimer. Such a shtar cannot be derived from Kiddusha Isha. By Kiddusha Isha, the Kona is the one writing the shtar. So we would never get from Kiddusha Isha to the idea that an Av is Kosev Shtar for another Ivriya. So we're going to need a different source. Where do we find that there's such a machlokas about who writes the shtar for Nami Ivriya? Di Itmar. Shtar Ami Ivriya Mikosvo. Who writes the shtar of Nami Ivriya? Rafuna Amar Adon Kosvo. Rafuna says the master writes the shtar, and therefore it's just like a shtar kiddushin that the Baal writes Bitcha Mukadash Asli, so the Adon writes Bitcha Kenuyali, and then it's a perfect parallel. But Rav Chista Amar Av Kosvo. Rav Chista says it's the father that writes the shtar, that just like someone who's mocher as avdo writes avdi mochurlach, so too an av that's mocher as bito writes biti mochurlacha. So you give, and then he gives that shtar to the adon. So hani chal Rav Huna. So the Gemara wraps up the question. So according to Rav Huna, I understand very well that the shtar Ami Ivriya could be derived from shtar kiddushin because it's an exact parallel to shtar kiddushin in that the kona is the one that writes the shtar in both cases. El Rav Chista Michael Meimra, but according to Rav Chista, that the Av is the one that writes the Shtar by the Ami Ivriya, so that cannot be derived from Kiddushin. So we're still stuck wondering where we get the idea of Shtar by Ami Ivriya. So says Gemara, a second possibility. Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Kra, because it says in the pasuk when an Ami Ivriya goes free, Lo Teitze Kitzeis Havadim, that she doesn't leave like a regular Eved Kenani would leave B'Shein Va'ayin, that if a master or knocks out the tooth or blinds an eye, then he goes the cherus. But with an Ami Ivriya, it's not true. The Adon pays for the nezek that he did, but then she continues to work in a regular service of him. So from the Lashon of the Pasuk, it's mashma that only when it comes to going out, the Ami Ivriya is not similar to an Eved Kanani. Aval niknesi kikinyan avadim, but it implies that as far as coming in, as far as beginning her service, that happens just like an Eved would have. So mayni who shtar? What is the way, the kinyan of an Eved Kanani that would be nogea to an Ami Ivriya? Oh, that must be kinyan shtar. So that's our second possibility. So the first possibility, how do I know that an Eved Ivriya is nikneis b'shtar, is because we learned that an Ami Ivriya is nikneis b'shtar from Kiddushin, but according to the opinion that you can't derive it from Kiddushin because it's the wrong person writing the shtar, so where do we learn it from? We learn it from an Eved Kanani being nikneis b'shtar. Lo teitze kitzeis avadim, but she's nikneis kikinyan avadim. Says Gemara, but how do you know that it's referring to a shtar? Ve'ema avol nikneis kikinyan avadim mayniu chazaka. Maybe it's a different one of the kinyanei avadim that works for an Ami Ivriya, namely a kinyan chazaka, that an Eved Kanani is nikneis b'chazaka, because being kona an Eved Kanani is like being kona karka, and karka is nikneis b'chazaka. So maybe it's the same as true with an Ami Ivriya. So says Gemara, no, it can't be, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says by an Eved Kanani, the pasuk continues that you are morish your Eved Kanani to your children after a person dies. That just like you're morish your karka to your children after you die, so you're morish your Eved Kanani. So since the Torah equates an Eved Kanani with karka, the chum derived from there that an Eved Kanani is nikne with all the kinyane karka, which is kesef, shtar, and chazaka. So the pasuk says osam. So we darshan osam bechazaka velo acher bechazaka. That we have this chiddush that a human being can be nikra b'chazaka only by osam, only by Eved Kanani, but nobody else can be nikra b'chazaka. So we see that an Ami Ivriya is not nikra b'chazaka. Therefore, what do we do with lotetze k'tzeis avadim av niknesi kikinyan avadim? It must be that's referring to shtar. So says Gemara, but how do you know? Ve'ema osam b'shtar v'lo acher b'shtar. Meaning, what we essentially have over here is that when it comes to Eved Kanani, we have one drasha that says that one of the kinyanim of Eved Kanani applies to someone else also, and then we have another drasha that says that another kinyan of Eved Kanani does not apply to anybody else. So we decided on our own that the one that's going to apply to somebody else is shtar, the one that's not going to apply to anybody else is chazaka. Mehechitesi ve'ema osam b'shtar v'lo acher b'shtar. Maybe the osam, which is coming to say that Eved Kanani is that there's a type of kinyan that's exclusive to an Eved Kanani, maybe that's referring according to Shtar, and that an Ami of Riyah cannot be Niknes B'Shtar. So it says more, no, because Haksiv Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim, it says Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim, which implies that the Ami of Riyah is Niknes K'kinin Avadim. So that must be referring to Shtar. But it says more, Mari Isa, we chose which type of Kinyan to associate with which Drasha. What made us choose that? Meaning, why not say that Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim of Niknes K'kinin Avadim means Chazaka, that you could be Konan Ami of Riyah with Chazaka, and Osam v'lo acher means Osam b'shtar v'lo acher b'shtar, and maybe Ami of Riyah cannot be Niknes b'shtar. How do you know that she's excluded from Chazaka and included in Shtar? So it says more Mistavra Shtar Havalei L'Rabuya. It's more Mistavra that the Torah is coming to say that an Ami of Riyah can be acquired with a shtar, because a shtar in general is a stronger, has greater power to affect transactions. Shekei Motzi B'Vas Yisrael. It's the only way to divorce B'Vas Yisrael. So you see that shtar has a great koach of affecting transactions. So if I have to say that an Ami of Riyah, that one type of kinyan is going to work for an Ami of Riyah, I'm going to take the type of kinyan that works more frequently than other types of kinyanim. So that's why it's more mistaver that it's going to be Star. Says Marvel Adra, Chazaka Avalei Rabuya Shekein Kona B'Nechse Ager. Chazaka also is a very popular form of Kinyan and a very powerful form of Kinyan, because a Ger that dies and doesn't have any Yorshim and all of his Nechasim are Hefker, so a Machzik B'Nechse Ager is Kona the Nechse Ager. So you see that the Kinyan Chazaka is a very powerful type of Kinyan, more so the Kinyan Shtar. You can't be Kona Nechse Ager with a Shtar, you can only be Kona Nechse Ager with Chazaka. So says Marvel B'Ishus Miaskalash. Yeah, but as far as in the world of Ishus, as far as when it comes to marriage and divorce, and in Evan Ezra's section of Shulchan Aruch, so we find that Kinyan Shtar has very strong value as far as Kiddushin and Gerushin. So it's Mistaver that it's going to work for an Amma Ivriya as well, that the Kinyan of a Shtar is very great when it comes to Kinyane Ishus. So it's Mistaver that it will work for an Amma Ivriya as well, which is a Chiddush, meaning what the Gemara seems to be saying is that acquiring an Ami Ivriya is a form of Ishus. She is an Isha, but what does that have to do with Ishus? Meaning one would imagine that when you purchase a slave, that's a Dine Mamanus issue. That's a Choshen Mishpat issue. It's not an Evin Ezra issue. But the Gemara seems to be saying that it is a form of Ishus in some sense. So the in Tosus Rid, he quotes that the Gemara is equating Ami Ivriya with Kinyani Ishus, and he therefore erases this answer from the Gemara, because what type of Kinyani Ishus is there with Kinyani Ami Ivriya? He says it's not true, and Ami Ivriya is not Ishus at all. However, the Ma'arit writes that when it comes to Ami Ivriya, there are Kinyani Mamun, but there are also Kinyani Ishus in Ami Ivriya, because you could be Miyayid Lo Leisha, you can now designate her as a wife. So there are certain Ishus elements to acquiring an Ami Ivriya. So says Gemara, another possibility of why we'd rather say that Kinyan Shtar works for an Ami Ivriya more so than Kinyan Chazaka, Iba Yisem Alahach Yahani Imacheres, that to know which type of Kinyan to be Marbe and which one to be Memayit, the Hekesh of an Ami Ivriya to Kiddusha Isha of Imacheres Yikachlo is useful over here. Meaning the Iker did that an Ami Ivriya's Niknas B'Shtar is not derived from Kiddusha Isha, but for the reason we said that it's the wrong person writing the shtar, but it tells us something at least. It gives us a little bit of an indication that there is a parsha of shtar that might be related to an Ami Ivriya. I need another drasha so that I could derive who should be the one writing the shtar. So that I learned from Evid Kanani. But the initial equation that we had, the initial answer that we had, that there is some connection between Kiddush and Ami Ivriya, that at least establishes that we're within the world of shtar. So now that we've explained that Rav Huna and Rav Chista disagree where we learn the idea that an Ami Ivriya is Niknes B'Shtar from, whether it's from Imacheres Yikachlo or it's from Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim, so the Gemara explains the sheet of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, Hai Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim, Mai Darish Bei. What's Rav Huna going to do with the pasuk of Lo Tzeitzei K'tzei Sa'avadim? Meaning he derives that an Ami Ivriya is Niknes B'Shtar from Imacheres Yikachlo, that just like an Isha is Niknes B'Shtar, so too an Ami Ivriya is Niknes B'Shtar. Because remember, Rav Huna is the one that holds that the Adon writes the Shtar, so to an exact parallel to a Baal writing a Shtar. Kar. So what's he going to do with the pasuk of Lo Teitze Kitzeis Havadim? So Mibayle, he uses that pasuk to tell me Sheini Yotzei Brashei Evarim Ke'eved, that if the Adam knocks out the tooth or the eye of the Alma Ivria, or a Stam breaks one of her Rashei Evarim, so she's not Yotzei L'Cheres like an Eved Kanani would be Yotzei L'Cheres. Rather, he just pays for the damage that he had done, and she continues to work for him until the 6 years are up, or until Yovel. So since the pasuk since that pasuk is stated in order to teach us that which is beferish in the pasuk, you can't be medayik from that pasuk that an amma is niknes kikinyan avadim, because the whole pasuk is needed the gufo. It's needed for what the actual din that the pasuk is telling me about, which is rashi evarim. For Rav Chista, Rav Chista said, well, imkain, if that's all the pasuk was teaching me, lichtof lo teitzei ka'avadim, my ketzeis avadim. There's an extra word in the pasuk. So Shema Minatarti, why does it have to say to Kitsei Sa'avadim? So it must be that it's telling me two things. From the guf of the pasuk, from the actual pasuk, we learn that an amma is not Yotzei Barashe Evarim, and from the diuk of the extra word Kitsei Sa'avadim, so we learn that an amma is similar to the Eved in that, just like he's Nikna Bishtar, so too she is also Nikna Bishtar. So then the Gemara had said, the Mishnah had said rather, V'kones Atzmo Bishanim, that an Eved Ivri is Kona himself with Shanim, which means 6 years from the time of his sale, so he goes free. So the Gemara explains that we derive that midichsiv from the fact that the pasuk says sheish shanim yavod uvashviyis, and it goes on to say yotzalav chavshichina. Meaning it's a beferish pasuk. You don't need no fancy derivation. It's beferish in the pasuk. It goes out after 6 years. Another possibility that inevitably goes to cheres, the Mishnah said, is biyovel, that if the yovel year arrives within the 6 years, he also goes free. How do I know that? Also beferish duchsiv at shnasa yovel yavod. It says beferish that until Shnas Yovel he's going to work. And then another way inevitably goes free is Begiron Kesef, that they do a calculation of how what the purchase price was and how many of the 6 years he's already worked, and then based on that ratio he could pay off the rest of the amount of service that he still owes with money, and then he goes free. So Amar Chizkia, Damar Kral, the pasuk says by Nama Ivriya veHefta that the Adon can help to be poda her Malamit shemegareya pidyon v'yotza by deducting from the purchase price the time already served, and then whatever the pidyon that's left is going to be paid, and then she'll go free. So Tana v'kones atzma b'kasav b'shav b'kasav b'shtar. So the Brisa tells us that an Eved Ivri is koneh himself with kesef with shav b'kasav b'shtar. So bishlam a kesef, I understand that he goes free with kesef. Because the pasuk says by Eved Ivri that comes to be poda himself, it says mikesef miknaso. It says yashiv gulaso mikesef miknaso. Shava kesef nami. I get that he goes free with shava kesef because it says yashiv gulaso. Right, that's the first half of that. But yashiv gulaso mikesef miknaso. So yashiv gulaso amrachmana. So the word yashiv is extra to tell me the rabbi shava kesef kikesef, that shava kesef is the same as kesef. Elahai shtar hechidami. But the shtar that's mentioned in the brisa, what type of shtar is that? Is going to accomplish this, that an Eved Ivri is going to go free with a shtar. If the Eved Ivri writes a shtar chov, that I owe you my value, I owe you the rest of the value of my service, and the Adon is maskim to take that, as opposed to taking actual money, well, hainu kesef, that's kinyan kesef, it's just an IOU on the kesef. Meaning if it would cost him $10,000 for the remainder of his service, then he doesn't have $10,000, so he writes a shtar, that I owe you $10,000, that's the same as giving him kesef. Ella, so when the Brisa says that an Eved is Kona es Atzmo Bishtar, it must be Shichrur, that the Adon writes a Shtar Shichrur, that Harei Ata Ben Chorin. But Shtar Lameli, why does the Adon have to write a Shtar Lameli Bapi Trey Zil? Why doesn't he just say in front of Tuedim, go, and I don't have any titles, I don't have any Tvius Mammon against you, and just let him free him that way? Why do you have to write a Shtar? The Ran points out that when the Gemara says that you say in front of Shnei Edim, that's just the Chizik HaInyan, that should be considered as if it was a signed shtar on this mechila, and then the other won't be able to be machish it. But even if he's machil bein olivin atzma, would be mutter. Meaning the point is just that if I don't want to keep you in my service, I could just tell you, so you're free, go. You don't have to work for me anymore. The two aidim is just so that I won't be able to deny it later. Inami babi bedina zil, or I could just say in front of the bezin, go, and then the eved will be yotzei lecheres. Because the reason the eved kanani requires a shtar shechur is because gufo kanui is because you own the eved kanani. So in order, so something that's that you own, the person that you own needs a shtar shichur. But something that belongs to an eved ivri, where you don't have a kinyan begufo, it's just that he has an obligation to do work for you. So you're mochel that work, so you don't need a shtar for that. So you mochel the work, and that's it. That's good enough. So Rava Zosa merits from the fact that the Brisa said that an eved ivri needs a shtar. What you see is that eved ivri gufo kanoi, that an eved ivri is actually owned by the adam for that tkufa of his service. And if you're mochel on the rest of that which he owes you, it does not work. He needs an actual shtar shichur. And if you don't give him a shtar shichur, the adam can take him right back, because it's not shaykh mechila when it's gufa kanui. Mechila is only shaykh when he happens to owe you the dinamominus of the work. But when you actually own him, then mechila alone is not going to do it. Period. So that's the discussion about Eved Ivri, whether Eved Ivri is gufa kanui. So you see from that price, I'm saying that Eved Ivri goes free with a shtar, that price holds gufa kanui. But if our mission, which does not say that it goes free with a shtar, does not hold gufa kanui. Okay, so now the great chiddush of the daf. The Mishnah had said Yisera lav ame ivria, that an ame ivria has an extra way of going free, and that is with simanim. Samrei shlakish ame ivria konasatzma b'misa saav. Mishnah forgot to say something. There's another way an ame ivria goes free, and that is if her father dies. And we learn that mirshus adon, is that she goes mirshus adon mikal v'chomer, from a kal v'chomer. Umasi manim shein motzin mirshus saav. Motzin mirshus adon, when she physically matures, that does not necessarily take her out of the Rishus Ha'av, yet it will take her out of the Rishus Adon, meaning a girl becomes a Nara, the father still has rights in her until she's a Bogeres, yet when she becomes a Nara, she goes free from being an Ami Ivriya. So Misa, Shematzim Rishus Ha'av, the Misa's Ha'av, which definitely takes her out of the Rishus Ha'av, and the father is not Morish or Maisi Adayim to his Yorshim, so Enudin Shematzim Rishus Adon, all the more so will be Motzi her from the Rishus of the Adon. The Yarsamech raises the question, why do I need to learn this din from a kal v'chomer? Misvari, you could say, because the person cannot sell anything that's not per reshuso. So if the father doesn't have a zchus in his daughter after he's alive, so after he dies, he doesn't have any zchus in the daughter, so he's not able to be mocher as bito for the time period after he dies. Meaning, I can only sell what I own. So you don't need a kal v'chomer if I own the rights to my daughter while I'm alive, but once I'm dead, I don't own the rights to my daughter, so I can't sell the rights to my daughter once I'm dead, because I never owned them. So of course when the father dies, she goes free. The father never had a right to sell those rights in his daughter. That's the kasha that the Yosemech has in Hilchas Avad in Perek Dalin. So he quotes from his brother-in-law, and he says that had it not been for the Kal V'chomer, we would have said that the fact that the father cannot be manchil as bito lebanav is not because the Torah was not mizakeh him in the rights to his daughter after his death. It's because just like the daughter is not yorish b'nichsei av, when there's a son, the ben is the one that's yorish, so too the ben is not yorish in the nachlas abbas. She's yorish that zuchus that the father has. I mean, it's not that he doesn't have a zuchus, it's that he's morish that zuchus to her, meaning we're often in the habit of saying that sons get Yerusha, daughters don't get Yerusha. No, says Yerushamech, it's a different kind of Yerusha. Sons get all the money and the houses and everything, right? But daughters get their rights to themselves. And that was something that the father owned. And then I was being morish to the daughter. So since it's something that he owned, it technically would have been something that he could have sold. So that's why I need the Kal V'chomer to tell me that, no, the Misa Sa'av is going to take her out of the Adon. So now the Gemara is going to have three challenges to Shitas Reish Lakish. So first is Meisvei Rav Hoshaya. Yisera Levam Rivish Konas Atzma Bisimanim, that an Ami Ivriya is calling herself Bisimanim. The Misa, and if it's actually true that an Ami Ivriya is calling Atzma with Misa Sa'av from the Rishus of the Adon, Nisinami Misa Sa'av. Meaning, when our Mishnah said that there's one way that an Ami Ivriya could be calling as Atzma that an Eved can't, and that's when she physically matures. There are two ways. What about Misa Sa'av? That's also a way that she could be calling as Atzma. So this is a Tana v'Sheir. Yeah, sometimes the Tana doesn't list everything. That the Tana lists one way, but there are actually more than one way. way. So my shir the high shir, but the rule is we only say tana v'shir if there's an extensive list, and we only just gave one example, but there are several items left off the list. If we would never give a list and just leave one item off the list, and the Mishnah could afford to say one more word, it could have just said misas ha'av. So my shir the high shir, shir misas ha'adam. It also didn't mention the misas ha'adam. That also will set her free. So since it didn't mention misas ha'adam, it's mistaver that it just left a few items off the list, namely misas ha'av and misas ha'adam. Frankly, Gemara, imisha misas ha'adam. If you think that's what's considered an omission from the list, lav shiuru, that wouldn't count as an omission. The kimin deika nami be'ish, because misas ha'adam is something that's shaykh to an ish also. I mean, even a nirtza is yotzi b'misas ha'adam. He's not, he doesn't work for the yorshim, so lo katani, that's why the Mishnah doesn't mention it. So if that's the case, you can't say that the reason the Tana of the Mishnah doesn't mention Misa Sa'av is because Tana Vishir, because there's nothing else than it was Shir. It wasn't Shir Misa Sa'adon. So Ve'elinisni, so we're back to our question. So why doesn't it mention Misa Sa'av? So Tana Davar Shiesh Lo Kitzva Katani, Davar Shein Lo Kitzva Lo Katani. No, because the Mishnah is only mentioning those things that will set her free, that have a very set, clear time or measurement or something like that, but something that has no, that is not established or set and is sort of up in the air, that it's not going to mention. So you'd see a b'sheish that happens 6 years. Yovel, I know when Yovel's coming. Giron Kesef, I know how much it is. She was purchased for $6,000, 6 years, $1,000 each year, right? I can figure it out. So those are the things that Tana's going to mention. But Misa Sa'av, no one knows when a person's going to die. So that's something that doesn't get mentioned. Vasimanim de'lem kitzva, so v'katani, frekli mar, but it says that she's yotzi b'simanim. Simanim, you don't know exactly when she's going to grow simanim. That's not something that's yeshlam kitzva. So it says, mar, it is. It's sort of yeshlam kitzva. Because I'm Rav Safra, elem kitzva l'mayla. We don't know, as the oldest age when the simanim could come. Meaning, I don't know if it's going to come when she's 13 or 14 or 15. She might be an islandess and it's never going to go. Right? We don't know at the latest point that it can come, but we do know the earliest time simanim can come. What do you mean? We avliyeshem kids for the mata. What does that mean? We know the earliest time they can come. Technically, she could be born with hairs or whatever. So it says we don't know, but that halachically doesn't count as simanim. There is a minimum age where we pay attention to these simanim, and we say these are actually simanim of maturity. But prior to that age, we wouldn't even look at them as simanim of maturity. Did Tanya, because the Braisa tells us, Penteisha Shanim Shevi Shtei Saros, if you have a 9-year-old boy that has Shtei Saros, Shuma, it's nothing. We don't even look at it as simanim of physical maturity. We view it as a mole that has hair growing out of it. But Penteisha Shanim V'Yomechad, Ad Ben Shtei Mesrei Shanim V'Yomechad, V'Odon Bo, if it remains in on his body between the age of 9 and 12, shuma, that's all it is a shuma. It's just a mole. Rabbi Yosef Rebuda Omer Simin. Rabbi Yosef Rebuda disagrees, and he says if it's still there, then it's a simin. But if they fall out before he reaches the age of 12, then even Rabbi Yosef is moda that it's over a davar mafreya, that it was only a shuma. But any hair that grows after the age of 9 and stays until the age of 12, Rabbi Yosef Rebuda holds that would then be a simin. You would then realize that it's a simin if it's still there after the age of 12. Ben Shalosh Esrei Shana V'Yomechad Divrei Akol Simin. Once he's 13 years old and he has Shtei Saros, then everyone is moda that it's a simon of godless, even if it subsequently fell out. So from that price, you see that a katana that has simonim before the age of 9, it's not a simon. So she's not yotzei with such simonim. Meaning if a father sells his daughter as Nama Ivriya when she's 7 years old, and then when she's 8, she has Shtei Saros, that is not a simon. That is not simoni naros, because there's a kitzvah. There is a minimum age of simanim, and she hasn't hit that minimum age of simanim. So mele, you see that it's a davar sheyesh lo kitzva, and our Mishnah just doesn't mention things that are ain lo kitzva, like Misa Sa'av. Misa Sa'av has no kitzva. The Gemara Maseches Nida raises the obvious question with this brisa. They may be wondering that there's a gap of a year that it just didn't address between the age of 12 and 13. The Gemara has like 4 different answers to how to resolve that, and distinctions between a katan and a katana could be that the brisa just switched in the middle from a boy to a girl, and that probably accounts for the discrepancy. But anyway, so Masa Rav Sheshes, and now we move on to the second challenge to Reish Lakish. So again, Reish Lakish is one that said, an Ami Ivriya goes free with Misa Sa'av. So we had one challenge that how come it wasn't how come it wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah? And we said, oh, it's Tana V'Shir. We said, what do you mean? It's not Tana V'Shir because my Shir is Aishir. So he said, no. It left it out because we're not mentioning things that are in lo kitzva. And Mitzvah is in lo kitzva. Right, so that was one challenge Reish Lakish. Now we move on. Masa Rav Sheshes, a second challenge Reish Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Arba'a Ma'anikin Lahem. There are four types of cases where you give an Eved Ha'anaka. Shlosha Be'ish, three relating to an Eved Ivri, meaning if he goes out B'Sheish, if he goes out B'Yovel, or if he's a Nirtza that goes out B'Misas Ha'adon. And Shlosha Be'isha, and three that relate to an Ami Ivriya, namely if she's Yotzeis B'Sheish, or B'Yovel, or Simanim. So she gets Hanaka. V'yata Yachalomar Arba'a Be'echad. But neither the male or female will have a fourth way to receive Hanaka. L'fi She'ein Simanim Be'ish, because a man doesn't go free with Simanim. Ve'in Ritzia B'Isha. And there's no Ritzia Sa'ozen when it comes to the Isha. But V'imisa, but if there's another way an Ami Ivriya goes free, so isn't that a fourth example where an Ami Ivriya can receive Hanaka? And this that when the father dies, the Ami Ivriya goes free according to you, Reish Lakish, so that she should get Hanaka when the father dies. So how could we say that there's no fourth way that an Ami Ivriya is going to get Hanaka? Maybe you can say, yeah, there is a fourth, but we're just leaving one off the list. V'harba katani. No, you don't say Tana V'Shair when a specific number is mentioned. It says Arba'a. Oh, so maybe we'll go with the same answer we gave before, that we're just not mentioning things that are in Lokit. And the Misa Sav is Ein Lo Kitzva. But Vasimanim Dein Lem Kitzva. Simanim also is Ein Lo Kitzva. Because you have no idea when she's going to grow Simanim V'Katani, and that's on the list. V'Chitei, maybe you'll say, no, we just had that conversation. Hachanami, Kiddur of Safra. No, Simanim have Ein Lo Kitzva L'mayla, but the Yesh Lem Kitzva L'mata. V'Yika Misa Sadon Dein Lem Kitzva V'Katani. But Misa Sadon is Ein Lem Kitzva also. And that does get mentioned. That has no Kitzva L'mala or L'mata. And yet it does get mentioned. So the Ein Lo Kitzva answer is not going to work over here because we do have on the list something that's Ein Lo Kitzva. Not Simanim, but Misas Adon is Ein Lo Kitzva. So it says Misas Adonami Lo Katani. No, Misas Adon is not on the list. It didn't give a specific list. It just said numbers. It said that there are three and not four. So it says Maravel Abar Maininu, the four ways that were Manik and Eved, what are they? So it says Gemara, Shanim, V'Yovel, if Yovel happens within the 6 years, V'Yovel Shor Ritzia. And Yovel, if Yovel happens after Ritzia Sozen. And then, by an Ami Ivriya, you have Simanim as well. So we thought that the three ways that you have by an Ish are Yovel, are Sheish, Yovel, and Misas Ha'adon, Nirtza with Misas Ha'adon. No, Misas Ha'adon's not on the list, because that's Ein Lo Kitzva. We're not mentioning Misas Ha'adon. It's Yovel after someone had Ritzia. It's not Misas Ha'adon after someone had Ritzia. And Hachim Nami Mestaver, it's Mestaver that Rabbi Shimon is correct, the Katani Sefer, because the Sefer goes on to say that Iyata Yachalomar Arba'a Be'echem Mehem, that you can't have four ways of receiving Anaka for either the man or the woman. Because there's no simana by an isha, there's no ritzia b'isha. But the misa, but if you can say the misa sadon is one of the four ways that are mentioned in the brisa, b'isha b'yamishkachas arba, then you do have four ways for a woman. There's sheish, there's yovel, there's simanim, and there's misa sadon. So shemamina, it must be that misa sadon is not on the list. And if misa sadon is not on the list, then misa av doesn't have to be on the list either, because we're just not mentioning things that are ein lahem kitzva. We're just not mentioning things that don't have a set clear number. So now the Gemara's third and final challenge, Reish Lakish. Masav Avramam, ve'ilu ma'anikim lem, the following receive ha'anaka, hayotze b'shanim, ubi'yovel, ubi'misas ha'adon, v'amivriya b'simanim. But ve'misa, but if it's true that she goes free with misas ha'av, nisni nami misas ha'av, why don't we mention that she gets ha'anaka with misas ha'av as well? V'chi teima, so a familiar conversation, tana v'shir, maybe she does get ha'anaka with misas ha'av, we just didn't bother mentioning it, va'elu katani, it says elu implies this is an exhaustive list. Maybe you're going to tell me, oh yeah, it's an exhaustive list of things that are yesh lo kitzva, but misa sa'av is ein lo kitzva, v'simanim dein lem kitzva, but simanim don't have kitzva. V'chitei machanam kitzva safra. Maybe you'll tell me simanim do have kitzva because there's a kitzva lamata, there's just no kitzva lamayla. V'yikam misas adon, but there's misas adon that's on the list, and misas adon has no kitzva lo lamayla v'lo lamata. So how come misa sa'av isn't mentioned? Okay, Tiyufta to Reish Lakish, Tiyufta checkmate on Reish Lakish. So it says, great, you have a checkmate on Reish Lakish, but the problem is, Reish Lakish called the Chomer Amar. He didn't just say it on his own, he didn't come up with it out of thin air that the Misa Sa'av frees the Amei Ivriya. He came up with it from a Kal V'chomer, from Simanim, that if Simanim are going to free the Amei Ivriya, even though the Simanim don't work as much, so then for sure the Misa Sa'av is going to free the Amei Ivriya. So Kal V'chomer, Pricha, he says, well, it's not such a great Kal V'chomer. Mishum Dika L'Mifrach, Mal L'Simanim Shenishtana Aguf. You could say, no, the reason the Amei Ivriya goes through the Simanim is because her whole body changed. She was sold as a Katana, now she's a Nara. So that's not the same guf that the guy had bought. So he sold the guy a Katana. He didn't sell the guy a Nara. So Tomer, Misav, she came on a Shtana guf. But by Misav, nothing changed about her. So now the Gemara brings a raya from another brisa that Reish Lakish might be correct. Even though we've already rejected Reish Lakish, Tani Chada Anak Eved Ivri La Atzmo, that the Hanaka that an Eved Ivri receives goes to the Eved Ivri himself. Vanakam Ivri La Atzma, and the Hanaka, the gifts on the way out that an Ami Ivri gets, she gets to keep herself. But Tani Idach, and we have another brisa that says Anakam Ivri Umitziyasa La Avia, that the Hanaka that you give an Ami Ivri and also whatever Mitziyah she finds from Hefker, that goes to her father. Ve'in the Rabbi El Schar Batala Bilvad. And the only thing that the master is going to get from her mitziah is if she had to take off time from work in order to pick up that mitziah and to take care of the mitziah, so the adon will get whatever loss he took because she was taking time off. L'chora, these brises are disagreeing. Who receives the Hanaka of an Ami Ivriya? We have one brisa that says she gets to keep it herself, and we have a second brisa that says that her father gets her Hanaka. So how are we going to be miyashev a blatant stira between two brises? My love, ha denafka b'simanim, ha denafka b'misasav. It must be that the second brisa is talking about where she goes out alidei simanim, and her father's alive at that time, and therefore he gets the Hanaka. Whereas the first brisa that says that she gets to keep the Hanaka is if the father's dead, and that's why she goes free, because the father is dead, so she gets to keep the Hanaka. So you see from the first brisa, like Reish Lakish, Misav is Motziah, Mirshus Ha'adon. So says Gemara, lo, you have no hechrich to say that the reason she went free was because of her father's death, and that's why she's getting Hanaka in the first place, because the father's dead, and he's not there to receive it. It could be they're both talking about where she's Yotzei B'Simanim. Lo Kasha, Hadi Isilav, Hadalei. It's just in one case the father's alive, the other case the father's dead. Meaning, when she goes free, she can go free when she turns 12 and she has simanim. It could be the father died when she was 11, the father died when she was 10, and she did not go free then. She's going free now because now she grew simanim. But who are you going to give the anaka to when you're free? Or you have to give the anaka to someone. So if her father's still alive when you're freer, you give it to the father. If the father's dead when you're freer, then you give it to her. But it doesn't tell me that the father's death sets her free. She might have just gone free with Simanim, and the father just happened to have been dead from some earlier time. Now the Gemara says, let's just take a step back. What was the price of trying to teach me that tells me, you know who gets the Anaka? The Eved gets the Anaka. Well, telling me that the Alma Ivriya gets the Anaka, I understand that that's a Chiddush, as opposed to saying that the brothers would get the Anaka. Because after all, the price says, V'snachaltem osam levnechem acharechem. So from the word osam, we're medayik osam levnechem, you're able to be manchil, your Eved Kanani, to your children be Yerusha, but v'lo b'noseichem levnechem. You can't be manchil, your daughters to your sons be Yerusha. Mikan she'en ad mor zuchus, bito levno, that any zuchus that a guy has in his daughter, he's not morish to his son. So that's what the Bryce is being mechadish when it tells me that the Hanaka of an Amei Ivriya goes to the Amei Ivriya if her father's not alive. Ela anak Eved Ivri la'atzmo pshita, ela leman. But what exactly is the chiddush of saying that the anaka of an Eved Ivri goes to the Eved Ivri? What's the other option? Who else would the anaka? An Eved Ivri is an adult male. Who else are you going to? He's a Jewish adult male. Who else are you going to give the anaka to, if not to him? So Rav Yosef, Yud Kraska Chazina Hacha. He says, I see that the letter Yud, which is the tiniest of letters, has become a huge city over here. Meaning, since the Brisa wanted to teach me that the anaka of Nami Ivriya goes to the Ami Ivriya, meaning and not to her brothers, so the Brisa is just Maruch Yosem Midai. Meaning it just adds in this other halacha, which has no chiddush whatsoever, that the anaka of Nevid Ivri goes to Nevid Ivri. Abayi Amar Hachi Amar Amar Rav Sheshes, Hamani Tutaihu, Titania Tutai Omar, Lova Lol Balchovo. Then no, there is a chiddush that the Eved Ivri gets it and not somebody else. Who might have who would we have thought would be the one to receive it? I would have thought that maybe the Balchov of the Eved Ivri would receive the, if he owes money to somebody else, that you do Shibudu Rabbi Nasan, and instead of giving the Hanaka to him, you would give it straight to the Balchov. So that's why he tells me Lova Lol Balchovo. It's interesting, Yud Kras Karina Hacha, I saw a discussion in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta. He says the Aruch writes in the name of a Gaon that Yud is a shame Chacham, and the Ritva writes Yud Kras is a shame of someone who's mentioned in Maseches Tainus, and he was an Adam Kasha, was not, he didn't even have Rachmanus on his children or whatever the story goes in Tainus Daf Chav Dalet. So in the Tshuvas Torah Lishma, an unusual Shaila was asked of the Ben Ish Chai, who's the author of Torah Lishma. Someone wanted to call his child the name of one of the letters of the Aleph Beis. He wanted to call him Aleph or Beis or something. He wanted to be creative in naming the child. So the Shaila is, are you allowed to do that? So the Ben Ish Chai writes, there's no chashash, do whatever you want, ein mochem biyado. And anyone who's going to tell you that you never find it is wrong, because we do find Ben Hehe in Maseches Avos. He's the one that taught us L'fum Tzara Agra. And in Tainus, there's a chacham named Yud. So we see that there is such a name. Now the Mefarshim and Ben Hehe say that that's not really his name. Ben Hehe is a remez to the fact that he was a Ben Avraham and Sarah who had a Hey added to their names. So that's what it means, Ben Hehe, that he was a ger. So we say that he's a Ben of Avraham Avinu and Sarah. And others say that Ben Bagbag also. Bag is Gematria Hey. So it's the same. Ben Bagbag is Ben Hehe, also a reference to Avraham and Sarah. Okay, but anyway, that's an interesting tshuva from the Ben Ish Chai. We'll pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.